Hi, this is Lucia with Yard of Love. This week I have a very long email. I don't generally read long emails, but this one was so interesting that I felt I didn't want to edit it too much. So get some popcorn, sit back, and here we go. Hi Lucia, I really admire your advice. You've taught me so much, and I just wish I had discovered you sooner. Your advice is the only one I follow wholeheartedly. Thank you very much. I met this man, my ex, and we instantly hit it off. He's 48 and I'm 39, and we live in Europe. He's very successful and wealthy, and he has no kids, never been engaged or married. Already on the second date, he said he wasn't interested in dating anyone else, and he wanted us to be exclusive. I wanted to take things slow. Good for you. That's way too soon to be exclusive. I don't care who it is. You have to slow things down. Because usually anyone who's willing to rush in will be just as willing to rush out. And said I was still going to date other men that I had already booked dates with. He was fine with that, even though he expressed that it made him worried since he felt so strongly about me. Anyway, after a few weeks of dating, I decided to end all the other contacts I had and just go for my ex. I would have waited a little longer. A few more weeks isn't enough, but whatever. We saw each other around 3 times a week. Too much. Again, too much. Too soon. You don't need to see each other 3 times a week. You're supposed to have a life. And immediately starting to see someone 3 times a week just sends the message that you don't really have a life. Even though he wanted to see me more. Wow. But I wanted to keep time for my friends and keep my own life too. Yeah. Okay, he spoiled me rotten, put me on a high pedestal, and said the most wonderful things, like he hadn't felt so strongly about anyone since he was 15. Wow, that's many years. It was so unusual for him to have to be the one to beg. He talked about me with his family, and he had only mentioned 3 girlfriends to them before. That all sounds wonderful, but again, these are only things that he's saying to you, so we don't know if they're true, but we'll go with it. Before we even had sex, he booked a luxury trip for us to another continent, business class, 5-star hotel. He talked a lot about the future, how he wanted me to redecorate his apartment. Where we were going to live, all the things we were going to do together, and he even mentioned marriage. Yeah, this is all moving way too fast. Sometimes, when he explained how strong he felt, he got tears in his eyes. And he's not normally a wuss. Well, a man isn't a wuss just because he gets tears in his eyes. It just means he's human and he has feelings. He said that the kind of love declarations he gave to me he had never given to anyone before. He said we'd make a great team. He would spoil me for the rest of his life. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. I come from a hot-blooded family. Uh-oh. And I'm quite ill-tempered. I hate that side of myself. It has ruined so much for me, and I know I have to work even more with it. So since I hadn't listened to you at that time, oh, sure, blame me for it. Listen, even if you had listened to me, if you don't have control over your temper, it's not like listening to me is going to stop that. Unfortunately, I don't have that much power. I sometimes complained and was frustrated over little things. I didn't choose my battles. But just thought he could take it since he had such strong feelings for me. Well, as I've said before, everything you do is either going to raise someone's interest level or lower it. So just because someone has strong feelings for you, it doesn't mean they're going to stay there forever. People's interest level is constantly in flux. So that doesn't mean that just because someone has strong feelings for you that you can now be a little brat and do whatever you want, thinking, well, he's got strong feelings for me. Okay. One time after 2 months of dating, I called him and was upset because I found out via Facebook he'd given me the same present as he had given to his ex for my birthday. I didn't exactly yell, I accused him of being a player and asked if this was something he gave to all his girlfriends. He couldn't understand me at all and said that we'd only known each other a couple weeks when my birthday came, so it was hard for him to give me something more personal. Exactly. Exactly. So that's not the kind of thing you get upset or you mention. This is just your own insecurity. It's like, oh, he's a player. I'm going to call him on it. You have to gather a lot more evidence to really accuse someone of anything. So if you thought he might be a player, then you just sit back and wait and make mental notes. But you don't, you know, you just have quote unquote circumstantial evidence. You don't have enough to accuse. Okay. For me, that wasn't a big argument, but for him, it probably was, because after that incident, everything changed. No more love declarations, and he'd show me disrespect with small but mean remarks. He didn't prioritize me anymore. He stopped using the perfume that I loved, etc. Well, exactly, because you killed his interest level by being petty and asking about something that was really none of your business. I mean, yeah, 2 weeks. I mean, you're lucky he even gave you a present after 2 weeks. Most people get a card if they've only been dating someone 2 weeks. During that time, I made matters worse by being too honest when he asked about those other guys. Uh-oh. I dated at the same time as I dated him in the beginning. I admitted that I had sex with his biggest competition during one of our first dates, while he waited for me to have sex for a month or so. Ugh. That's like driving a stake through a man's heart. First of all, in talking about sex, most guys cannot handle the truth, I've found, okay? I'm not telling you to lie. I'm just saying you don't need to go into detail. You don't need to discuss certain things, because no good can come of it. Trust me, no good can come about when you're discussing other guys you've had sex with, blah, blah, blah. Like, shut up. Really. You want to talk about that, you know, when you're totally in a very secure, committed relationship, you still want to talk about that? Fine. But especially in the beginning, no. Let's see. He seemed really disgusted by the fact that I had sex with the other man. Yeah. Okay, this went on for about a week. So see, slowly, slowly, she's killing his interest level. Okay, we went on another luxury trip at the beginning of July that he had planned before the quote-unquote argument. We were away for 10 days, and the first days everything was fine. He seemed happy. On the third day, he started to get irritated about small stuff, and he started acting very distant. We went to a restaurant that evening, and he didn't talk to me or look at me during dinner. Instead, stared at some beautiful girls that sat beside us. The next day, the distance and silence continued. He kept to himself and looked grumpy. Gee, how fun that must have been. Another day, when we went to dinner, the catastrophe started. He was sort of ignoring me that whole evening and only answered my questions with one word. He looked like he didn't want to be there, but when a young, beautiful waitress came to our table, he suddenly lit up and became like another person. All of a sudden, he started to talk, joke, and laugh with her, and when I tried to engage in conversation, too, he ignored me and looked bothered. I don't know, for some reason, I find this amusing, because I can just see it in my head, what's going on. Before our trip, I spent a lot of time researching what to do and where to go, and made a list with the best tips I found, but he hadn't even looked at it. But now with this local waitress, all of a sudden he was very interested in the tips she had and all the things that she recommended I had already included in my list. Instead of starting an argument, I thought I should be mature and not say anything about this. Yes, yes. But then, uh-oh, here it comes. On our way home, he said, "Oh, I'm so happy I met that girl. She made my day with her wonderful energy." Well, that was the last straw. I can say I totally lost it and I did everything wrong. I screamed in the taxi and I called him different degrading things and said he was old and pathetic and that I'd go home the next day. And I even pushed him hard. When we got back to the hotel, he talked to me. Oh, he wouldn't talk to me. No, he wanted to talk to me, sorry. But I was boiling mad, and I took a large dose of sleeping pills and went right to bed. The next morning, we talked about what had happened, but he wouldn't admit he had flirted with the waitress and said he was just being friendly. Well, obviously he was upset with you about something before the whole incident in the taxi, and he didn't want to talk to you, but he was also didn't want to just not talk to anyone, so this was just a way of talking to someone, of just soaking up some good energy. I wasn't there. I don't know if he was necessarily flirting, but he just wanted to talk with someone in order to feel good. That's my interpretation of it. I always like to give people the benefit of the doubt. And again, because of your insecurity, You took it the wrong way and thought he was flirting, and boom, you continue to lower his interest level. So, by the way, when this happens, if you're out on a date and someone stops talking, you know, hopefully you're not out on a trip as you were, that's even worse. And all of a sudden this person stops talking, get out of there, because no good can come out of the rest of the evening if for whatever reason someone stops talking. So what you say is, you know, is everything all right? You know, you're not really talking. I mean, you first try to see if they're going to talk, if they just want you to question them. And if they still don't want to talk, then if you're a woman, you say, well, we should probably cut the evening short because I'm not comfortable with the silence. And if you're a man, don't say I'm not comfortable, because that comes across as beta. Just say, let's just cut the evening short. So you get out of there, because as you can see, as I continue to read, no good can come out of this by staying there. And if you're on a trip, you know, if you're going to go on a trip with someone that you've only been dating a few months, always make sure that you have control of your tickets, so that if you want to leave, if you want to change the booking, you're able to, and you're not dependent on them. And if I was you and I was with someone that stopped talking, go. Because there's no reason to continue being on a trip when the person isn't even talking to you. It's no fun. Okay, to continue on. The rest of the trip was a disaster. Exactly. Just what I said. He never talked to me. He didn't look at me. He didn't want to participate in my activities. He looked disturbed when I was around. And all our time together, he just looked down at his cell phone. Exactly. I mean, this sounds like a nightmare. I didn't make a fuss about his behavior, about this behavior, since I still stupidly was sure he was in love with me. And also, I heard that men need to go into their cave sometimes, and you should let them. Yeah, but hopefully they go into their cave when you're not around. If they go into their cave when you're there, that's even worse. So I tried to not let it affect me too much, keep my spirits up, let it have a space. On the last day, we had two more big arguments. Exactly. That's exactly what I said. You stay on the trip, it can only get worse. So now there's more arguments and more lowering of the interest level. One about logistics, and another because he refused to post anything, not even a simple photo of, for example, a view without any tags in it, about that trip on social media, even though I tried to explain it was important to me. He had done it on all of his other trips. Okay, so about this whole social media posting and things. Stop trying to bully people into posting on social media photos of you with them or your trip or whatever. Instead, see what they do and use that as, I don't know, I want to say evidence, but just make a mental note of, are they posting about you being with them or are they not? And that will show you their interest level. Instead of, why aren't you posting about us? Again, that lowers interest level and it makes you look insecure. You're going to find out soon enough why they're not posting. So just sit back. I was hurt and again overreacted. Here we go. And almost threw his phone out the window. Yikes. But in the end, just on the floor. This behavior definitely shocked him. That night I fell asleep without talking to him. When we came home, for a couple days we didn't contact each other. I wasn't too worried because I thought he was still in his cave. yeah. And we both needed time apart after that intense adventure. I'm glad you see it as an adventure. Finally, he sent a text and wanted to have dinner. I asked what he thought about the trip. He said it had been fun, interesting, and during that dinner, everything seemed fine. But when it was time to go home, I wasn't welcome to his place. He said he had originally planned to break up with me that evening, but was willing to give us a chance if we took things really slow. Yeah, remember, that's what I said at the beginning of this email. Take things slow and start from the beginning again. And if I took all the initiative from now on. He also said it didn't seem like I was interested in him and he needed me to show that to him. Well, yeah, after you called him old and the taxi, why would he think you were interested in him? So you said that everything seemed fine during dinner, but you missed the non-verbal cues. I'm sure there were cues that things were not fine, but you didn't see them. Okay, He apparently thought it was crazy that I hadn't reached out more to him and apologized and tried to talk about the trip. Some days after that, I wrote a long text to him explaining, apologizing for my behavior during the trip. Just a side note here, why not an email? Why a long text? I said I would keep on working on my temper, but needed to talk to him when something was wrong. He hardly answered and wrote that he was going to call, but never did. He said he doesn't want to upset me anymore and can't trust me to be calm. By the way, working on the temper, how are you working on the temper? You know, you might want to see a therapist or get anger management, because otherwise, how else do you work on a temper? I didn't give up, though, and arranged a nice picnic for us in a beautiful place. A week later, he came, everything was lovely. We talked for hours, drank champagne, and agreed he wanted to keep on dating, but would take things slow. Again, he said he wasn't unsure of what he wanted, but he thought I was. And he said I should think about whether I really wanted to be with him. I suggested we go on another date that weekend, but he canceled, and friends told me they saw him on dating apps. A week goes by where I text him and he hardly answered. I asked him if he wants to meet up one night, and he didn't answer until the next day. So finally I asked him what was happening, and he called me and said he wanted to break up. He said we were too different and not compatible. I tried to reason with him. Okay, you can't reason with someone who wants to break up with you, which I know that's the reflex action. Someone says, I want to break up with you. No, wait. You don't want to break up with me. Here's the reasons why. It's not going to work. People don't stay with someone because of logical reasons. They stay with them because they're attracted. So once the attraction is lost, once the interest level goes down below 50%, if you've heard my other recordings, then you'll know that they're not interested. And it doesn't matter if you have the most logical explanation in the world as to why you should be together. They don't care. Okay, so I tried to reason with him until he got tired and said we should continue to talk tomorrow. Yeah, that's his way of getting you off the phone. But the next day he never called, exactly. When I texted and begged him to talk with me, he never called and didn't answer my text. By then I was devastated, in a panic mood, so a couple of days later I went to his house and sat outside his door until he came home from work. Oh boy. I would normally think that's a crazy move, but since he had expressed that he didn't think I showed enough that I cared earlier, it was a good thing to do at this time. He reluctantly invited me inside, but said he was in a hurry. Again, he said the trip made it obvious for him that we were too different and not compatible, and he thought it was insane that I said those things I did during the arguments, and that I had gone to bed without talking to him. He said those things had never happened to him before. He couldn't see it all as his own responsibility. Well, he's right. I mean, his responsibility was that he had stopped talking to you, but you also had responsibility to take control over your temper. When I said he was putting too much focus on the trip and our differences, and that he should remember all the good times, instead he said he simply wasn't there anymore and that he wanted a calm girlfriend. But in the beginning, he said he adored my liveliness. Yes, liveliness, not tempered. Don't confuse being lively with having a temper. Those are two different things. Because the fact is that no matter how deeply you feel something, there are effective ways to communicate and there are ineffective ways to communicate. And you can't continue to hold someone hostage with your out of control emotions. If there's an issue, you need to discuss it calmly, not by flying off the handle and throwing phones and pushing people, etc. That's just not going to work. Okay, to continue on, I argued, there's no point in arguing, but okay, that he didn't spend time with me. Let me start again. You try reading a long email and not making mistakes. Okay, I argued that if he didn't spend time with me, his perception of me, the bad one from the trip, would not fade. But if he gave us a chance, those nice feelings would start to grow again. Actually, it's the opposite. When someone has a bad image of you, it's best if you go away so you can let time do its thing, so they can forget all the bad things and start to think about the good times, because otherwise, if you don't go away for a while, every time they see you, they're going to be reminded of the bad things. So it's actually the opposite. When I was ready to give up and ended the discussion, he suddenly said, okay, let's meet. But first we'll have no contact for 10 days and then we can take a walk together. Okay, now I did something very stupid. Gee, what a surprise. This is getting ridiculous. Okay, I spent a couple of days researching about relationships. Oh no, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And found out that all he felt and had said about us lately was like a schoolbook example from the second phase, power struggle. Aha. Yeah, no. That's not what it is. This is what happens when you try to play armchair dating expert. It doesn't work. That's when you only see each other's differences. Yeah, that's not what this is. This wasn't about seeing each other's differences. You weren't even there yet. This was about your temper. It wasn't about a power struggle, okay? I sent him a long text, again, telling him that I liked and missed him and that I felt calm knowing we would work this out. And then I sent 40 screenshots of relationship advice about the second phase. Ugh. Imagine receiving 40, again, convincing behavior, low-value behavior, trying to convince him that actually it wasn't your fault and that he had a part in this. No, this was mainly your fault. And now you're trying to say, oh, it's not me. It's just a little power struggle. Naturally, I didn't get a response. Uh-huh. And when I texted after those 10 days had gone by, he answered that he didn't think we were a good match. And now he was more sure than ever. Yeah, you just put the last nail in the coffin. This is what happens when you try to fix something through action. That's why if someone doesn't want to see you, just go away. Don't do anything, or at the very least, speak to a dating coach. Preferably me, but if you want someone else, that's fine. Again, this could have been avoided. He wrote that we're too different and he knew for certain it would never work. He was grateful for the time we had together and wished me the best. And of course, he didn't want to see me as promised. I asked if we could talk, but I finally realized there was nothing I could say. Exactly. So instead, I sent him a long text asking for forgiveness and thought he was being too hasty in his decision and we could have worked everything out, but he never answered. Okay, so I hope you guys are still hanging in there with me. It's almost over. I hope you're finding this as interesting as I am, but don't worry, we're almost at the end. Now, more than a month has gone by without any contact. We still follow each other on social media. He watches my Insta story until a couple of days ago when I started going on other dates and posted it there. I found out he's dating someone new exclusively, and he started dating her soon after our trip before we had even broken up properly. Which time? I mean, there were so many discussions about breakups, so who knows when that was. I mean, you don't know exactly when he started dating her. He must have settled for the first woman that happened to pass by. Not necessarily. Someone like that, he probably has a lot of women who are interested in him. And so it's not like he picked the first woman. He just thought, okay, you know what? I know she's interested in me. She's cool. I'm going to date her. So that could have happened too. You find the whole thing strange. They're so different and live different types of lives that I hardly even feel jealous because I know for sure they won't last. Well, maybe they will and maybe they won't. You never know. Who's to say? He still has a relationship status as single. He had that during our 3 months together. I really want him back, not because I'm desperate or don't have a fulfilling life, because I think we'd make a great match. Not right now, you won't. Not with that temper. It's not easy to find a partner without marriage, without previous marriage and kids. That's right. And I really think we could have a fun life if he only gave it a chance. I try to see this new relationship as something that can work in my advantage, because to be blunt, I think in comparison to her, I'm actually a catch. A catch in what way? I think you need to re-examine what your definition of a catch is, because someone who loses her temper easily and is willing to throw phones and push people around is not a catch. So maybe you're better looking than her in that sense, but there are other things to life rather than a catch. And people don't want to be around someone whose temper is always out of control. Continuing on, I was thinking of contacting him in a few weeks to tell him that I'm on my way to start dating someone else and ask if he's really sure about his decision, but I guess that's not a good idea, right? Yeah, it's not a good idea. Leave him alone. He's dating someone else. Help me out here. Do you think there's any chance he will contact me again, or have I completely ruined all of my chances by letting my psychotic self out? I'm glad you see it. And do you think I ever had a chance with this man, or did my behavior only speed up the inevitability? Listen, I mean, I would need a lot more information about that to know whether you ever had a chance. I mean, from everything you told me here, it sounds like, yeah, you did have a chance. And unfortunately, your behavior curbed it. It cut it short. Have you ruined all of your chances? Again, you know, you never know. I mean, I've heard of people getting back together after even worse things than this. People that you never thought would get back together. And then I've also heard of people not getting back together when the breakup was not even as bad as this, when these types of things didn't even happen. So there's no way of knowing. There's no way I can tell you that. There's no way anyone can tell you that. But I can tell you that if you want to have a successful relationship with him or anyone in the future, you have to get control of your temper, because that's what killed this. This whole thing was totally in your hands. And had it not been for your temper and your insecurity, you might still be together. So, as I mentioned before, go to therapy, go to anger management, because you're 39. You don't want to be 49 and still doing this, still throwing phones and pushing people and losing it, because the older you get, the worse it is. It's just not a good look. It's not a good look at any age, but it's definitely not a good look if you're 49 or 59 and you're still there doing those things. So before you do anything else, do what you have to do to get a hold of your temper. It's not going to happen overnight. This is going to be a process. It's going to take a while. And once you've reached that point, see where things are. Maybe he has reached out to you at that point, maybe not. But once you're in a calm place where you can handle whatever, then maybe you can think about reaching out. But until you absolutely know that you're not going to lose your temper again, and believe me, it is possible to do that because, you know, I'm Italian. So when I was younger, I've been known to throw a shoe or two. That's about as bad as it got. But I would never do that today. I have grown out of that. And also, I would be so disappointed in myself if I behaved like that and so embarrassed. And I'm now the total opposite. It's, you can't even get a reaction out of me no matter what. There's no reaction. Maybe I've gone too far in the other direction. So it is possible to change. I didn't go to therapy or anything. I mean, I wasn't that bad that I needed to, but it just kind of happened as I got older and just I became more self-aware and I didn't want to be that person. And so it is possible to get to the other side and to not have a temper and not do things that you're going to be sorry for later. So thanks to everyone for hanging in there, if you did hang in there. If you have any questions or comments about this type of thing, or you're interested in private coaching, please contact me at my website, theartoflove.net. If you're listening to this on iTunes, I would appreciate if you would rate and review the podcast. If you're listening on YouTube, please subscribe. And finally, remember that love inspires, empowers, uplifts, and enlightens.